Hebrews chapter 13, from verses 1 to 8, and then 15 to 16. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. May your word live in us
and bear much fruit to your glory.
Thank you, Bishop Ian.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you inhabit our praises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear people who've reconfirmed their commitment to you. Pray now that you will speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. It's a very special day to be here with you as candidates for confirmation. But the message isn't just for you today. It's for all of you who promised that they were going to support them. And the reason for that will become evident shortly. I don't know how many of you have seen the films The Blind Side or Instant Family. Nobody has seen either of those. Some? All right. If you have seen either of them, The Blind Side is based on a true story about a relatively wealthy family who took in a huge black lad who eventually became a famous footballer in the States. And it's, as I say, based on a true story, and there's some lovely pictures at the end when you see the real characters, as they occasionally do in films recently. The other story, Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg, is about two parents who decide that they're going to foster and end up with three children of various ages. And the reason both these films appeal to me is for many years I was a social worker. And I worked with children and young people who were in abusive, neglectful, or dangerous situations. And one of the joys of my job, because I worked in the family courts as a social worker, was the few times when you get to a situation where it was impossible for a young person or a child to remain with their birth parents anymore, it wasn't safe, or they weren't there, and suddenly they had found a family that they could be members of, who were accepting them and loving them and making them feel amazing. Remember one particular lad who was always missing from school. He was a year 7 or 8 child, and he was missing from senior school a great deal. And we discovered that he was so worried about his mum, who was abusing drugs, that he would try and be at home as much as he could for her. But that wasn't doing him any good. And eventually we had a family group meeting with all the rallies that we could find in the world for this young boy. And I've never forgotten the smile on his face when he looked around for the first time in his life and he said, "And this is all my family." And we were able to place him with one of his uncles who lived on a barge on the Thames. But it was fantastic for him because somebody was giving him constant care, and also they were reassuring him and helping him with looking after his mum. You know, What happens at confirmation is also about being received into a church. Now, I know a number of you have been worshipping in other denominations for a very long period of time. So in some ways, this is not quite the same for you. But actually, it is about being received into the church. It's also a reminder as we think about what Jesus has done for us. And it's a reminder of our baptism. And baptism is a reminder that Jesus died for us and died in order that we might be born into a new life. And we often think of that life in personal terms, about what I am doing. And that's important because it's your willingness to say, I want to follow Christ, I want to do these things, that's really important. But interestingly, when the New Testament writes in English, we see the word you, but it means plural or singular. And we often read the texts in the New Testament as if they're addressed to me personally. And sometimes they are, like the book of Timothy, for example, or Titus, is addressed personally to those people. But actually, often when we see the word you, it's addressed to us as a whole church. This is something for all of us to take on, not just as individuals. What's happening today is that you're being recognized as being part of a family, like those people in Blindsight and Instant Family. And, you know, that's a new identity. It's a very important identity. And in the early church, people came from all walks of life. It was lovely to have all ages here today represented. But they came from all walks of life, all ages, and they were formed into a new body, the church. Whatever our background didn't matter. And you know, a family doesn't work just for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Does it? Actually, a family is something that's part and parcel of us on a much greater basis than that. It's something that happens around the clock, 365 days of the year. And there were two reasons why God wanted to have a church. And one of them was that new Christians, or people who were new into the church, would feel loved and supported, not just on Sunday mornings, but around the week. So one of our tasks, when you said, I'm signing up to support them, it is actually about how are we family, how are we ministering to one another, how are we recognizing things that people need, how are we making sure that we're using the talents and recognizing the particular gifts that the Holy Spirit has given each one of these people, because they have, as it has for all of you. And the second thing was that it was to have such a quality of family that everybody else would want to join it. So Acts 2 and Acts 4, they're the fantastic verses at the end of each of those chapters. And it says the Christians were meeting on Sundays? Daily! And praising God and supporting one another practically and financially. And it says, such was the fellowship that they enjoyed. The word in Greek is koinonia. Such was the fellowship they were enjoying that other people were joining on a daily basis. God was adding to their number. Now, as I heard Shane say in this church only a month ago, the number of people who don't necessarily claim to have any faith whatsoever in Albany is huge. So the task is on the doorstep that we as an entire church might be a place that is so loving of one another that people start knocking on the door and wanting to find out what's going on and can they join in. Because that need that we have as human beings, that children have when I was working as a social worker, to feel loved and cared for and recognized and able to do the things that we're capable of, happens within that scenario. That's what God called the church to do and to be. We've had two particular themes today which are also part of that, about hospitality and about humility. So I asked Shane just before the service what preparation you had had, because it's an area of fascination to me. And he quite properly said, look, we've gone through how the Anglican church works, how the communion service works. We've also done the catechism, and yes, Bishop, you can test them on any of that straight away. No, he didn't say that. But these are all the proper things that we've done, and often confirmation trainings ended up with a bit of apologetics. Why is it that we believe in God? What is it that Jesus Christ has come to do? Do you know, in the early church, they didn't do that. They did something rather different. What they did was that they spent months, making sure that people who had become new members of the church, usually at Easter time, learned about what it meant to be a member of a family. So what they did was, they said, you need to get rid of these things, and you need to do these things. So when Michael, who's the character in Blindside, starts living with his family, he doesn't understand the rules about how they live, and they have to help him. And when these three Latino kids join these two unsuspecting white parents and have come from a really chaotic background, it takes them quite a while to understand what the rules are in this new family. And what the New Testament appears to say to us is that some of those rules are really important. You need to get rid of, it says, things like malice and envy and guile. All the things that break up families. And by the way, you need to respect those who are married within the church, because actually that also does enormous damage if we mess around with marriages within the church. And it says you need to put on all these special things that make for great family. As God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, forgiving one another, as God has in Christ has forgiven you. Above all, and clothe yourselves with love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the idea suggests that when they came to their baptism, which was like what we've done today, but with the baptism bit as well, they probably changed clothes. And they probably took off their old clothes and they put on new white clothes, like I'm wearing today. And they would have remembered as they did so, as all good teachers will tell you, they had that aide memoir, you're taking off malice, envy, all of those things that break up communion. And with your new white clothes, newly baptized, you're putting on all of this other stuff that's going to build up the body of Christ to be the community that God's calling you to be and us to be in this part of Australia. The reason I'm telling you all of this is that there was a guy who worked out in 1946, when he was doing an amazing study of 1 Peter, that probably there are bits of what you might call the catechism, but of this kind of teaching, that have been produced for some time in the early church, and that different writers of different epistles had actually picked on this to remind people and included bits of that in the New Testament. And to give you a bit of a clue, I've given you some passages where they say put on these things. There are a couple of words that get used. If you ever see the word take off or put on in the text, I can give you the Greek words, but I won't bother you with that. If you ever see take off these or put these things on, chances are they were borrowing from that common teaching. And again, that suggests to us that this is a really, really important thing for us if we are saying, as we do, that we are followers of what the Bible is saying. And it's fascinating to read the New Testament, both the epistles and the Gospels, in that kind of lens, because you begin to see just how significant this was. And that includes the two passages that we've had today. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, says Hebrews. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels. You know, I've been talking about Michael Frost's book, Surprise the World, and he talks about the importance of eating and inviting people as part of our families, whether it's See You at Five, which is doing that, which is a lovely thing, or whether it's actually saying, I'm going to invite somebody into my home to just have a meal with us. And he's saying, this is a wonderful method of evangelism, of growing the body of Christ. And don't just do it for the people who you know will give you a meal back in return. Do it for the people who you know probably can't. Do it for the people who might really appreciate what's going on. We live in a place with lots of loneliness, and people would really welcome that. Humility is another part of this. Don't count ourselves as more than others. And he's again trying to make a community that really love one another and don't lord it over one another. And you've all been in that wedding situation where do I sit? And that's the story that Jesus spotted and told and said, look, just go somewhere not quite on the top table and just see what happens. Don't have airs and graces. He's just encouraging all the time to do things that actually endear one another to each other. The lovely thing about children who are adopted is that they know that somebody cares about them. And that verse, I will never leave you or forsake you, is a really special verse for those of you who've been confirmed today. You know, if you make a public declaration for Jesus Christ and to be a Christian, actually that puts you at risk. At that point, the evil one gets interested in what's going on. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, where he has a senior devil talking to a junior nephew devil, you will see that the patient, who's the person who's identified as the person as a Christian, they get more concerned about the patient when that person starts telling people that they're a Christian. So watch out. One of the things that happens is that the devil will make you doubt God's love for you. Another thing that will happen is he'll make you think you're unworthy of God's grace. And sometimes he'll try and catch you out and say, if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't have done that. And all of those are false. And Peter, in his letter, which again addresses some of these issues that I think were done in baptismal training, says, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, will prowl around looking for someone to devour. And the verses we heard today, it says instead, cast all your anxieties upon God, for he cares for you. And finally, you heard those words, do not neglect to do good, and do share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You know, sometimes we're very reluctant to give of what we have, and particularly I notice that when children have been in care or have been in really bad situations, they need to hang on to anything they possibly have because they have so little. But the Christian way is a different way. It says we need to give of what God has given us, and actually we will never lose by doing so because it all comes from God in the first place. Will you join me as we pray? Dear Lord, you have called us as a church to be your body in this world in Albany. We pray for those who've been confirmed today. And we pray for us as a church that we may be the family of God that you are calling us to be. We ask this for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And we're now going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.